today on Real Radio.
You ever feel like that in life? How are you doing as a Christian? Do you ever feel like you're the one that's failing him? We all do, if you're honest. Sometimes we would ask him, Lord, am I the one?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a very special Easter episode for Passion Week. It's called Our Awesome God, Jesus Christ Alone Saves, a powerful theme that brings to light just how awesome our God really is. Thanks for taking the time to join us today. We are simply undone with the overwhelming sense of how small and insignificant we are in comparison to God, and yet He chose willingly to humble Himself to die on a cross to save us from our sins. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ removes our guilt and shame, while His resurrection gives us the gift of new life in Him. In our Passion Week series, the Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, was drawing near. So Jesus and His disciples gathered in Jerusalem. The first Passover took place in Egypt to bring deliverance through a lamb without spot or blemish. God, through an angel, passed over those in the house in Egypt whose doorposts were covered by the blood of the lamb. But when Jesus came into the world, He brought to us a new covenant. So today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the Passover feast that Jesus shared with His disciples was also the same hour He was betrayed. Jesus went through great suffering from that moment until He dies on the cross. But His passion for us was why He willingly took on our sin and carried our sorrows to the cross. And now, continuing in His special Easter episode for Passion Week, it's called Our Awesome God, Jesus Christ Alone Saves. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. When I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. It's very amazing. Every dad of the house would go through the house and he would look for any breadcrumbs of leaven. The house was to be swept clean. If he found any bread, he would wrap it in a cloth and he would take it down to the rabbi, and they would have a fire burning, and they would cast the wrapped up bread, the normal bread with yeast in it, leaven, and they would throw it into the fire and it would be consumed. And then it's considered that the house was clean. Now listen, then the dad would go back to the house, and he would, by doing that, he would declare his home clean of sin. What if dads today did that? They declared, they swept through their house, declared their house clear of sin. Dad, you need to do that. You need to do that in your home. God holds you and I as dads accountable to do that to our homes. But my son won't talk to me if his iPhone is polluted with sin. You think God cares about the iPhone? Oh, you know what? I don't know. You know what? Hey, listen, go through that. Imagine God wants us as men of our homes to go through the house and get all of the sin out of the house. That's what God requires of the dads. Well, that first begins where dads get rid of the sin in their own lives. This is what God expects. He said, how do I do that? Go to Jesus. He'll tell you how to do it. I can't save myself. Of course not. He never told you to save yourself. Go to Jesus. He'll save you. Yeah, but this is daunting. This is of course it's daunting and too much. Go to Jesus. Better to go to Jesus than status quo as your home sinks and as your children perish. No, God wants the man to go through the house and find an 11 and take it and have it dealt with. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." That's awesome. And I love looking at that verse like that, because you know what? If Abraham all of a sudden showed up here right now, he would say, he'd look at that and he'd say, right on. Right on, because you know, Christ, Hebrew word for Christ is Messiah. For indeed, Messiah, our Passover was, he'd say, yeah. David would agree with that. The Old Testament saints would agree with that. They understood that perfectly. You see, God's word's eternal. Paul the Apostle didn't make that up when he said it to the Corinthians. God's consistent. This is important. Keep this in mind for a second. Hopefully it'll make sense. 1 Peter, we studied it a couple weeks ago on Sunday. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." That means there's no amount of money, there's no amount of good works that can save you. God says that's all corrupt. "Like silver and gold, can't save you. From your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers," that's called religion, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's how you're saved. That's what this week is all about in history. I want to show you three images tonight. And I don't know, they meant something to me, but we're talking about Passover. And somebody might say, what is that? Red? Well, it's blood. We've been talking about blood, the Passover. And it's to put this picture in your mind. So the next picture is this. Look at this one. Say it louder. That's exactly the response God wanted you to have, honestly. That's why he said you got to bring that little guy in your house. Bring a little guy, bring him in. And listen, read history books on this. They would bring the little lamb into the home, and that lamb ate, slept, played with the kids, and became just as familiar as your dog. And there's supposed to be a bonding with the little lamb. How could you not bond with that thing? Look at that thing. That little thing cannot live. As I mentioned recently, that little thing cannot live without human care. It always drives evolutionists nuts, but it's a fact. That little thing was to be reduced to this next image. It was to be taken and bound. And its throat was to be slit, and the blood caught in the basin. And you know, when little lambs die, or sheep for that matter, they never resist. You know, those things are sweet and cute, but they'll walk right into a river to get a drink of water. They'll walk right into a river and kill themselves. They'll drown themselves. If it's just remarkable how much we're like them. No, we are. It's true. You know, come on. We get something to eat. We overeat. We kill ourselves. It's true. Look at the people who win lotteries. Almost now, what is it now? Almost up to 80% of people who win lotteries wind up killing themselves or becoming hooked on drugs and they die. Don't win the lottery to kill you. We don't do well on our own. But church, I just want to run through these things for you really quick and then we'll wrap this up. Our awesome God this week, we celebrated in history. It's very clear according to the Bible that only Jesus offered himself for us. It was only Jesus. Jesus only offered himself for us, church. He willingly did this. That's the biblical record. When Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, "I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I'm known by my own. And as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." He's echoing the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned away, everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Jesus was silent. Only Jesus. Secondly, only Jesus was innocent enough. I love that reality because People say what they say about Jesus, but they can't find fault with him. Jesus Christ is absolutely innocent. Thirdly, Jesus suffered willingly for us. He suffered. I think about this week, and as you live this week, think about the suffering. You know, middle of Wednesday, the only one that really knows what's going on in the negative is Jesus himself. Remember, this week is the upper room experience. This is the week that Jesus washes their feet. This is the week that they're very excited coming off the high of Palm Sunday. But Jesus is the one who knows what's happening. It's this week, in the middle of this week, where Jesus turns to Judas and he says, "What you do, do quickly." It's this week that Jesus says, "The hand of my betrayer is with me at the table." And the Bible says that the disciples began to look at each other and one another, themselves, and they asked Jesus, "Am I the one?" You ever feel like that in life? How you doing as a Christian? Do you ever feel like you're the one that's failing him? We all do, if you're honest. Sometimes we would ask him, "Lord, am I the one?" Peter wondered if he was the one. Andrew wondered if he was the one. You know what's weird about it all, you guys? No one suspected Judas, which means he was an incredible hypocrite. The most stellar hypocrite ever. He fooled 11 guys that he was living with day in, day out with Jesus in the midst. And they all thought of themselves that they were the loser and the betrayer. They never said, "It's got to be that Judas. He just looks, look at one eye's going that way and the other one's going this way." They never once. Jesus suffered. Fourthly, he was crucified for our sins. Why did Jesus have to die? Because of me. He died on the cross for my sins. In Matthew 26, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.'" Jesus had to be crucified. And then in wrapping this up, I hope this is a picture for you. Part of the Passover celebration, there's the matzah bread, matzah. The word is, it's pure bread. This is unleavened bread. Can you see that? Look at that. It's like a gigantic saltine cracker. And this hasn't changed for thousands of years. This is unleavened bread. This is kosher, matzah, unleavened. And then listen, there's the matzah, tosh. There's the matzah, the bread bag, or the matzah bag. And I'm going to go through this quickly, but at a Seder dinner, it's a bag and it has three compartments. It has three, think of a baggie and you open up the baggie. The matzah tosh, you open it up, and it has three layers in it. You know, like kind of they deliver pizza to your house? There's that kind of bag, and it's got shelves in it? Imagine that. And the matzah tosh has three shelves in it, and there's bread. And listen, and in the middle, there's bread, and it's the unleavened bread, okay? And what's interesting is that it's one matzah tosh, one bag, but it has three shelves with three loaves. Or three, what is, matzah, cracker, sheet, three. Question, why three? Ask a rabbi, why three? They're going to be celebrating it this week. Ask them, why three? They don't know why. Some rabbis say it represents, and by the way, they don't agree. It represents Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the rabbi down the street says, no, it doesn't. It represents the priesthood, the Levites, and the nation of Israel. And then you keep driving down the street to another synagogue, and someone else has a different. Nobody knows for thousands of years why there's three breads mentioned. But out of the three breads that are in the, oh, by the way, there's three breads in one matzah tosh, one bag, three in One. Okay? According to your Jewish friends this week, during their Seder dinner, which is very elaborate, I went to one in Jerusalem at a friend's house. It was like over 4 hours long. They take the dad of the house takes the middle one, the middle loaf, or the middle cracker out. Not the top one, not the bottom one. The middle one out. He breaks it in two, puts one back, takes this one, and wraps it in the afikomen. Wraps it up. The dad, the father, tells the kids to stay at the table, and he goes, and the father hides the bread and buries it somewhere in the house away from the family and their view. At this moment, your friend's Seder dinner cannot continue any further based upon one prophetic thing that has to happen. For the Seder dinner to ever end, the kids have got to find the afikomen, the wrapped up bread. It is known as the bread, listen, are you sitting down? It's known as the bread of affliction. He was afflicted for our sins, Isaiah says, and he bore our iniquities. He was wrapped in linen cloth and buried out of view. And by the way, the word means later, coming later, afikomen, coming later. The Passover continues, and I'm missing a whole lot of it. You can look at it later. The children are then sent out. Listen, the children are sent out to find the bread of life, the afikomen, the bread that comes later. So you're going through the service, and now the father dismisses the kids. Children, find the bread of life. They find it, they unwrap it, they sit around the table, and as it's unwrapped, they break it in peace and pass it all around the table, each of them partaking of it together and drinking the cup. They've been doing this for thousands of years. And when you ask a rabbi, why is the middle one used? Why the middle bread? We don't know. They don't know. Why is it wrapped up and hidden, buried out of sight? We don't know. Remember when Jesus broke the bread and he passed the bread around to them? You know that as communion, right? In the Seder near the end, they sit down and they have a seat, and it's an empty seat and a cup, and it's an empty cup. And it's Elijah's seat, because they've read the Bible and it says that before the Messiah comes, Elijah will appear. And part of the procedure is the father sends the youngest child to the door, and they open up the door as the family stands and waits, and the kid looks for Elijah, and there's no Elijah, and they're sad because the Messiah did not come. And they do this over and over again, failing to realize that the Bible says, Jesus said, if you are willing, the spirit of Elijah is upon John the Baptist. They fail to recognize this week in history that the Messiah is one who must first come to suffer and to be killed and to be resurrected from the dead before the Messiah returns to deliver Israel politically. Jesus first had to die for the sins of the world before he comes back in the second coming to be the political deliverer of the nation of Israel and the redeemer of the Jew. Are you with me? It's a remarkable week. The question tonight is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Passover lamb? I pray you do. Father, tonight we are so spoiled, favored, blessed, privileged to have been allowed by your great grace to know the Lamb of God. We publicly, Lord, praise you and thank you for having saved us by the blood of the Lamb, that we in our sin have been forgiven. And in our walks with you on a daily basis are forgiven as we walk in the light. All based upon the blood of the Lamb. And how great is that blood, that tonight, no matter who you may be, whatever sins you have done in your life, they plague your conscience, do they not? You know, it's amazing because maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, Jack, God would never save me. I've been such a promiscuous person, or I've been such a drunkard, I've been such a violent man, or I've been such a manipulator, or yeah, God knows all that. And yet in his infinite love and wisdom has allowed you to hear these things tonight. Let him be God, would you? He's reaching out to you. God wants to forgive you right now, wherever you may be. And you know, God the Father, as you trust Christ, God the Father has entered into an agreement with his Son that all those who call upon Jesus Christ will be saved. It's not based on anything of yourself. The Father looks upon the great sacrifice of his Son, and you are forgiven based upon Jesus. You're set free based upon Jesus. My friend, it's all about Jesus Christ, God's Son. Will you put your faith in him? Will you tell him right where you're at, wherever you're at, if you're here or beyond? Would you say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you and I want to make you the Lamb of my life. Forgive me of my sins, Almighty God. I'm a wretch. I don't deserve you. I deserve death. I know that. But I'm tired and I'm ashamed. I can't even look at myself in the mirror. I'm disgusted. I don't even know who I am anymore. But I'm asking you tonight, would you have me? I want you, Lord. Will you wash me and make me a brand new person? Will you create in me a new heart? Wash me. Tonight, if you mean that to him, he's listening.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a special Passion Week episode called Our Awesome God, Jesus Christ Alone Saves. Thanks so much for listening today, and happy Easter to you and your family, by the way. And our prayer is that during this time of Passion Week, you've come to realize just how much your awesome God really does love you. He didn't come into this world to condemn you, but to set you free. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. In celebration of Passion Week, Pastor Jack is offering a special three-part Passion Week DVD series. It's called Our Awesome God. In this series, Pastor Jack shares God's awesome faithfulness, love, and provision. You'll also see why Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection and the life, and the extent to which he's gone to save you. This special DVD offer is available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's available for a gift of any amount to this ministry. This is a special deal, so hurry to our website while it lasts. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.